So I am going to present data from our chlamydia screening quality improvements project that was done in Buffalo, New York. So you ask, why Buffalo, New York? So we not only get the most snow in New York State, but we also have the highest chlamydia rates among 15 to 24-year-olds in New York State outside of New York City. Our high school surveillance data suggests that many adolescents are sexually active, but our HEDIS data suggests that many adolescents who should be screened for chlamydia are not. So first, we assembled our QI team, which consists of representatives from the local and state health department, our New York City STD HIV Prevention Training Center. We had an excellent QI nurse where no was not in her vocabulary, and we had a quality improvement consultant from Public Health Improvement Partners in North Carolina. We worked with three clinics, one federally qualified health center, one community clinic that had both a pediatric clinic and a family medicine clinic, and one academic hospital satellite clinic. So the goals of our project was to ensure that sexual activity was documented in the medical record for all adolescents and young adults between the ages of 13 and 24 years old at all visits, not just well child care visits, but also sick visits, and that a chlamydia test was ordered for all sexually active adolescents and young adults that didn't have a test in the prior 12 months. Again, at all visits, not just well child care visits. So the way we measured our progress is we looked at two outcome measures. First was documenting sexual activity among 13 to 24-year-olds in at least 80% of all office visits, and then ensuring that there was a chlamydia test done among those sexually active 13 to 24-year-olds, again, in 80% of all office visits. We also looked at balancing measures just to make sure that the providers were not taking shortcuts to meet their goals. So we looked at visits where a young adult was identified as sexually active and a chlamydia test was not done. We also looked at visits where a chlamydia test was done where sexual activity was not documented. And so this is a list of the strategies that we use to try to be successful with our quality improvement project. And I just want to point your attention to the maintenance of certification Part 4 credit that we were able to offer the physicians. So maintenance of certification is what physicians have to do to maintain their board certification. And every 5 years, they have to complete a QI project. And they absolutely hate doing this. So we were handing it to them in the silver platter. And that's really the only reason we even start the conversation about doing this project in their clinic. We also offer 20 CME credits to not just the physicians, but the mid-levels and all the nurses. We also work with the American Academy of Pediatrics, which is the professional medical organization for pediatricians. So this is where pediatric providers and many healthcare providers go for practice management guidelines for their care. And so this was actually adding credibility to our project because it was coming from AAP, not just the health department, that they're not really care so much what we say. We did offer them some money, which was helpful, but that was not the game changer. I think they would have done it without the money as long as they got the MOC credit. So we started off with a full day of on-site QI training at each of the clinics. So that consisted of a half a day of didactic training. We taught about chlamydia, best practices for an adolescent confidential visit, and general QI principles. And then the second half of the day, we started our QI planning. So at each clinic, we observed about 4 or 5 patient visits, and we observed the patient flow at each of those visits, and we mapped out, you know, each clinical point during the visits, and those correspond to the yellow rectangular stickies. And then we documented what happened and the time it took in between events, and then it's the time it took to complete each event, say like a history and physical, taking the vital signs, you know, everything like that. And then the stars correspond where each opportunity for an intervention that we could improve the patient flow. And so we map these out and we call an impact matrix, categorizing all the potential interventions as either high potential impact or low potential impact, as either being easy to do, a quick win, or being more difficult to do, taking more resources and taking more time. And that's how we decided what interventions to try to make small changes during our plan, do, study, act cycles, or PDSA cycles. So I already described the planning. So they implemented each of these, you know, one or two small interventions in the clinics for 2 months' time, during which our QI nurse went to the clinic, talked to each of the clinicians, to help them work out the barriers of getting this intervention done, giving a lot of technical assistance. In the 2 months, we had them do chart reviews on a randomized sample of 20 medical records of patients who were seen at the clinic during that time, where they recorded some demographic data, whether a sexual history was documented and whether a chlamydia test was done. Then the QI nurse took those data to each of the clinicians, reviewed it them with them, decide what works, what they could do better, and then they decided on what the next intervention was for the next PDSA cycle. So we did 4 PDSA cycles during this project that took about 9 months. We also offered 2 learning collaboratives, one in the middle and one at the end of the project, where we brought all the participating clinics together to be able to share their data, to compare notes, you know, where they were on the progress of their outcomes measures, and also to be able to share best practices, you know, what worked, what didn't work, what should you avoid, what should you try to do. And it really brought together the clinics to give them a sense of a QI community, that they weren't doing it by themselves. We also, as I mentioned, involved the American Academy of Pediatrics. We use their Quality Improvement Data Aggregate Tool, or QIDA for short. And so this is a web-based tool where it had all the information about our project in one website, but it also was the place where the providers were able to enter their data from their medical record review of 20 charts for each PDSA cycle. And then the QIDA tool aggregated the data, and it spit out some real-time chart runs where we could look at the progress for each individual provider, for each clinic, and then for all the clinics together. So this is an example of what these data runs look like. So first on the left is looking at the proportion of 13 to 24-year-old visits that had a sexual history documented. The y-axis is the proportion of visits. The x-axis, each of the data points corresponds to the proportion at each PDSA cycle, where cycle 1 was the baseline. The flat purple bar is the 80% mark where we're trying to achieve the goal. So you can see all the clinics improved in their sexual history documentation. Next is chlamydia screening, looking at the proportion of sexually active teens that were given a chlamydia test. And so you can see all the clinics improved in that outcome. The second is looking at the balance measured. So the first, the graph on the left is looking at where a chlamydia test was not ordered among sexually active adolescents and young adults. So you can see the clinics eventually figured out how to avoid doing that. And then the next slide is looking, a chart is looking at unnecessary chlamydia screening, where sexual activity, where a chlamydia test was done among patients where sexual activity was not documented. And you see they all moved to away from doing that at different successes. So what did we learn? Well, we learned that we could accomplish working in a quality improvement project with community clinics, that they would be able to routinely take sexual histories and document that sexual history in the EHR, and then order chlamydia tests on all sexually active adolescent patients. And actually, this is the first time these clinics ever worked together on a quality improvement initiative as a team, so it empowered them to do more, and they all wanted to do more QI projects. Strangely. And then the clinics were able to make some, you know, great systems changes into their clinics. So they all developed these little brochures and handouts and signage to help families understand what to expect at a confidential adolescent healthcare visit. They all developed these confidential intake rooms where they could take the teen back at the beginning of the visit, do vital signs, and also give them a brief health history questionnaire so we could tell if they were sexually active and doing some other risky behaviors. And then we were able to get the sexual history documented in the EHR and the patient summary page so everybody could see it. So we all had they all had challenges. They all struggled figuring out how to use their EHR. They all struggled with how to do an atraumatic parentectomy during a sick visit because parents weren't so happy about that. And then they all struggled with a high staff turnover and then from staff buy-in. I think the most helpful component was a great QI nurse. Our QI nurse was, again, was not in her vocabulary. She was very aggressive about getting in to see all the clinicians at least once during the PDSA cycles, at the end of the PDSA cycles, and help them to problem solve and and figure out how to get done what they needed to get done. We couldn't have been successful without her. And one of the things we were surprised that she taught them is how to actually collect the appropriate urine specimen and order the gonorrhea, chlamydia, and NAT tests appropriately. Lessons learned, a full day QI training is too much. They all said their heads were going to explode. So with our next intervention, where we're working with two Catholic health clinics, one FQHC and one private office in a first ring suburb, is we broke this up into two half days. Also, our value stream map was made out of poster board and they all fell off the walls and got lost. So we're gonna make electronic ones. So just in closing, I just wanna emphasize that it was really helpful to be able to offer MOC Part 4 credit to the physicians and also 20 CME credit hours. Working with the American Academy of Pediatrics really gave this project credibility to the community providers, and having a great QI nurse that does not say no is essential. So I just want to thank my partners here in the audience and back home in Buffalo and the participating clinic. So thanks.
Questions? Discussion? So, Gail, do you think there's any opportunity that AAP would support disseminating this across the country, perhaps with some technical assistance as well, to help practices and clinics implement this?
Yeah, well, my idea is similar to what CDC did with the American Academy of Pediatrics to do, gave them some funds to do QI projects at each of the AAP chapters to improve their HPV immunization rates. I think they could do something, and actually my chapter is involved with a project like that, giving AAP some financial support to, again, you know, mimic this. And again, having the MOC Part 4 credit and all the CMEs that AAP can provide, and then having a tool to, you know, aggregate the data and look at the data, I think we're just, you know, great resources that we, you know, couldn't have done without the Academy. So I think, you know, this partnership with you know, public health, and then, specialty practice organizations are really essential, because, again, community providers, you know, I've learned the hard way, they don't really care what public health has to say or health departments or CDC. They, you know, pediatricians look to AAP, OBGYNs look to ACOG, and so we have to make the message look like it's coming from them, not from us. And, I think in this case we were successful. Thanks.
Any other comments or questions? One of the things I learned about working with teenagers, if I don't say anything for 2 minutes, somebody will get up. Thank you, Gail.
Thanks.